How about now? And I say a timed message. I didn't say how long the time would be. But a timed message, because we'll simply go until I think you've gotten overloaded with information or all we can handle in one night, because again, this is not something we'll finish in one night. This is something that's been on my heart for quite some time. I think everyone that attends Bible Baptist Church knows that we are a King James Bible-believing Baptist Church. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that, can I say, I don't say that contentiously. Now, there's a lot of folks that get contentious on both sides of the fence over the issue of the King James Bible. You can sit down with some folks sometimes that are good church people and love the Lord, and they'll sit around, and I've heard this experience happen, they'll sit around the table and talk about, well, what Bible do you use? What do you read? What do you use in your devotions? And somebody will say, well, I use the English Standard Version. Everybody will nod around the table. Someone will say, well, I use the New American Standard Version. And folks around, I use the Contemporary English Version. And then one brave soul will say, well, I use the King James Version. The reaction of people around the table. They're open and accepting to all the other Bibles, but there's something about the King James Bible that folks on that side, it's taboo to them. You can go on internet and type in KJV only, King James Version only. And you will find us called everything from a cult to Bible worshipers. In other words, not worshiping the Lord, but worshiping a book or a Bible. And all kinds of uncouth things, harsh words. And yet, I'll say at the same time, in all fairness, there are many on our side of that issue. They use the same harshness and unfairness to the other side. My goal tonight, and in these messages and lessons, is to present this information to you in an unbiased manner. Now, that's going to be very, very difficult to do, because I'm biased. I know what I believe about it, and I have no qualms about that. But at the same time, I don't want my sarcastic side to come out, because believe me, it's there. I don't want my mocking side to come out, because it's not deep under the surface. But I want to present this stuff in such a way that if somebody should listen to this over the internet, or somebody should hear this, other than who's sitting here, someone that's of the persuasion of the other Bible versions, that they would hear this information and this presentation of this message in such a way that they would not turn it off automatically because of the sarcasm, because of the harshness, but they would consider what we're saying and hopefully, prayerfully, think about this issue. We're going to talk about the difference in Bibles. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I have two stacks up here. And this side is by no means exhaustive. This side is. But this side is not. Say, preacher, what are the two sides? Well, I've got here the New International Version. I've got the ESV, or the English Standard Version. I've got the NLT, the New Living Translation. I've got the New American Standard Version. And I've got the New World Translation of the Scriptures. These are just the Bible versions that I have in my office. I use them for reference sometimes, for study. Not study on anything positive usually, but study on where the problems are. And then over here I've got the King James Version and the New King James Version. And we'll talk about the differences between them at a future date. But I'll simply say, these are really the only two Bibles. There's only two. All of these are pretty much the same. And these two, with some significant differences, basically are the same. The thing that makes them different is what we're going to look at tonight. And that is, there are 17 verses in your New Testament that are in the King James Bible that are not in these Bibles. 17 verses that are in these Bibles that are not in the... Now, let me say this. This is the New American Standard Version. They are in this one. This is 1901. They are in this one, but they're in brackets with a note that says these verses shouldn't be there. So this one precedes all these. This one put them in brackets and then the rest took them out. And then actually, this ESV down here, one of the newest ones, doesn't take out 16 verses. It takes out 17 verses. And see, that's what we said. When the NIV came out in 1977, we said, this is just the beginning. They're going to take out more. Oh, no, they'll never take out any more. Well, they have. Now, here's the question. And this is the legitimate question. Did these Bibles take out 17 or 16 verses? Or did this Bible add 16 or 17 verses? We have to be in agreement, they're not the same. In fact, there's not, that 16 or 17 verses, there are an estimated 60,000 differences in the New Testament alone between these two. 60,000 differences. We're just going to talk about Bible verses, but there's half verses, there's words, there's phrases, there's things taken out, that there's 60,000, an estimated 60,000 differences between these two. Now, I say that simply to say this. Things that are different are not the same. Someone can say, I use this version or that version, but they cannot say all Bibles are the same. They cannot honestly say all Bibles are the same because they're not. All these are the same, but they're not the same as these. So there's 16 verses. Let's stick to the lower number for reference. There's 16 verses that are in this Bible that are not in this one. Now the argument is, do any of them affect doctrine? And I'll tell you the truth. No, they do not. They don't affect doctrine. Someone would say, well, if they don't affect doctrine, then what's the problem? Well, it's not about the doctrines. And really, can I say this? It's not even about the verses. It's about the words. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. You're already there, verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. I've underlined this in green in my Bible right here. You don't have to do that, but I've just underlined this. The beginning of that verse. Every word of God is pure. You notice it says, every word of God is pure. Every word. Didn't say every verse. So if they took out verses, you can argue, debate all you want to. But in these verses that we're going to look at are over 250 words. 250 words that are in this Bible that are not in this Bible. If every word of God is pure, either this one doesn't have all the words of God, or this one has added some words to God, one of them is in strict violation of God. Now again, you can side on this side and say they've added them, and that's fine. But you have to admit, they're not the same. Jesus went into the temple, went into the synagogue, and he grabbed the scroll, and he began to read. And the Bible says, and he found the place where it was written. There are some places that if the Lord Jesus came into this church and grabbed the King James Bible and turned to some verses, he wouldn't be able to find them in these. They wouldn't be there. That's a serious issue. And so what I want to give you is I want to give you the verses or the words that are missing so that you know what they are. Because here's an astounding thing. An astounding thing. That the people that use these different Bible versions, the majority of them don't even know that they're missing. Look at your King James Bible there in Proverbs chapter 30. And notice, if you would, that on the left-hand side, you can go right down the column and see verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Every verse is clearly marked on the left side column as you go down. Now, some publishers of even the King James Bible have gotten away from that, which is a sad thing. And they begin to put them all in paragraphs, and that's what the New Bible versions do. And there's a reason I believe they do it that way. When you're looking at your King James Bible and you read verse 5, then it's 6, then it's 7. If there was a number missing there, you would say, wait a minute, they skipped one. Because going down the left-hand column, every verse is a paragraph, and they're very easily marked. But when you pick up these other Bibles, they're not, every verse is not a separate paragraph. They're put in clumps. And you'll read through a verse, and if verse 8 is missing, you'll read this in verse 7, and it'll say little number 7, and you'll read it, and then it'll say 9, and then it'll read, and there won't even be an 8 in there. Not even a number 8 in there. To let you know, and people have read these Bibles for years and never noticed the verses that are missing. Now again, I'm trying to withdraw from my sarcastic side, but I want to question their mathematical abilities. Because for years they read and don't even know. I've told you this story. I visited a man years ago that was considering coming to Bible Baptist Church from another Baptist church. And I went to visit him, tell him, I'm glad you've been coming out to visit, wanted to know if you had any questions about the church. And he used a Bible that was called an interlinear, and on one half it was the King James, and the other half it was the New International Version. So he could follow both down at the same time. He said, I want to know, why is your church King James only? Why is it the only Bible you use? Why is it just a preference? I said, all right, turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. We'll get to that one later. So turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. The Ethiopian says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I had him find it in the King James Version. He went down, he found Acts 8:37. I said, read it. He said, all right. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I said, now go on the other side, on your NIV side, and read verse 37. And it was fun to watch his face. Because he looked so puzzled. He's looking at it and he says, oh. There was no verse 37. There was a verse 36, and there was a verse 38, but there was no number 37. And he'd been using that Bible for a long time and never even noticed it, never saw it. There's a difference between the two Bibles. There is a difference. So there's a reason we're using this one. Every word of God is pure. Every single. Now here's the problem on this side again. I'm trying to be fair. They don't believe that the Bible is the words of God. The words of God. They believe it conveys the message of the gospel. They believe it teaches us. It gives us what we need to know. But they don't think that every word of God is pure. They're not interested in every word. We're interested in every word. Turn, if you would, you're in Proverbs, but go over to, let's say, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, the devil is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ 40 days in the wilderness. And in Luke 4:3, the devil said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Notice this. It is written. Where is it written? Well, he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So understand, when Jesus says what he says in verse 4, he's quoting an Old Testament verse. And he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every doctrine that comes from God. But by every teaching that comes from God. But by every thought that comes from God. No, what does it say? But by every word of God. The words that are missing, those are words of God. Or the words that have been added are not words of God. We have to agree that these are not the same. Nobody can run around saying, well, all Bibles are the same. Not any sane, intelligent person. Because they're not the same. There's missing words. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, Luke chapter 4, verse 4, and Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, says that man shall live by every word of God. It's about the words. It's not about the verses even. It's about the words. I want to give you the 16 verses that are missing in the new Bibles, and again, we'll not try to get through them tonight, because here's the thing. Almost all of you have this list. But if I asked you, what does that verse say? Most of the time we don't know the answer. We've got the reference, but we don't know what the verse says. The verse is made up of words. That's what's important, not the verse number, but the words in that verse. Why are they not there? So I want to give you the list of these. I would recommend, I'd highly recommend, and I've been asked this so many times by different church folks, that you make this list of these 17 verses, maybe not now, but when we're done, go in the back, in the front or back, one of those blank pages of your Bible, and write down these different references. Write these down so that when you're talking to someone, again, not in a confrontational tone, not in an argumentative spirit, but just simply saying, hey, you've got to know they're not the same. Because all these words, some of them are in red letter. You know what I'm speaking of when I say that? The words of Jesus Christ. Some of those words are not there. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. We've used 20 minutes already just through the introduction, so we'll not try to get through all the 16 verses tonight. In Matthew 17, there's a story that begins in verse 14. A man brings his son to the disciples, and his son is a lunatic. That's the Bible word. Verse 15 says, oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Verse 16, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Hallelujah. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? There's a legitimate question. The disciples had been given power over evil spirits and everything else, and so they asked the Lord, Lord, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said in verse 20, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 20, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Those 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness back in Matthew chapter 4, were humanly speaking the reason he could cast that evil spirit out of that young man. Those 40 days he spent praying in the wilderness gave him the power to do what he was doing. The disciples had been given this power, but sometimes that power was untapped because they hadn't spent time in prayer and fasting. That's the key to the story. In fact, keep your place there. It's so important. Look over at Mark chapter 9. The same story is told in the Gospel of Mark. You know how the Gospels cover the same thing. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 28, just to skip to that part of the story. When he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Mark chapter 9, verse 28. Verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. That's the key. That's the key to the story. Why couldn't we cast him out was the question. Because the only way to cast this out is by prayer and fasting. I said all this to say this, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That verse, none of those words are in these Bibles. Matthew 17, 21 is gone. It has verse 20, then it has verse 22, but not verse 21. Now again, somebody would say, well, these guys added that verse. And here, I'll give you the honest, here's the argument. What some ancient scribe did is he read Mark chapter 9 and went back to Matthew chapter 18 or 17 and put Mark chapter 9 back in Matthew chapter 17. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty far-fetched to me. That some scribe was that knowledgeable that went all the way to Mark and found something and said, hey, that belongs back in Matthew, and he went back. That's the story that these people try to sell. But the simple truth of the matter is, Jesus spoke those words. He did. Because these Bibles have those words in Mark. But they don't have them in Matthew. Why? Why are they gone? Because that's the key to the story. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting. And if any preacher stands up in a church using these Bible versions and preaches from Matthew chapter 17 and preaches that story, nobody's going to know anything about prayer and fasting. Because that verse isn't there. Words of Jesus Christ. Not insignificant. Not unimportant. But words of Christ. You may have to turn the page, you may not. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. This is the second verse or the second list of words that's missing. These words again are the words of Jesus Christ. And as he's speaking in Matthew 18 and verse 11, Jesus says this, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Is that a key verse? The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Is that important? Did Jesus say that or did he not say that? That's the question. Did these verses take it out or did these Bibles take it out or did these Bibles add it? That's the issue. Did Jesus say it? Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Matthew 18, 11. Did Jesus say that or did he not? It would be consistent, wouldn't it? He said it in Luke 19, 10. He probably said it in Matthew 18, 11. But somebody down through time decided they didn't want that there. And let me say this. This is not a matter of the English translations. It's not that these guys took it out of the English language. We'll get into this in a future study. This goes back beyond translation into English. It goes back to what they call the original Greek manuscripts. Someone changed those. One of two ways. They either added some verses or they subtracted some verses. But somebody back there did something dastardly. And now all these Bible versions come from the Greek manuscripts where the verses, the words are not there. These come from the ones where they are there. So it's not just a matter of English translation, it's a matter of origin and where they came from. Again, we'll cover that at a different time. But two verses, "This kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting, and the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost." Again, the idea is, well, some scribe back in the day knew the story in another gospel and came and inserted it into this one. That's the scholarly explanation for how that happened. That these have added those verses. The other thing they say, well, if it's taught in one place, it doesn't matter if it's missing in another. Well, that depends on whether or not you believe that every word of God is pure. Depends on whether or not you believe that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. These verses are missing. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 3. Not verse 3 in Matthew 23, but the third verse that's missing. Matthew 23. Again, I encourage you to write this list of verses down. Write them in the back or front of your Bible. Know where they are, but don't just know where they are. Know what they say. Because what they say is important. If every word of God is pure, every word is important. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. The first two verses in Matthew 17 and Matthew 18 are repeated elsewhere in the Gospels. This verse in Matthew chapter 23 is found nowhere else. So if it's not here, it's not anywhere. We call this the chapter of the eight woes. Eight times Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He unloaded on them. And this is not recorded in Mark or Luke or John. Only Matthew records this scathing pronouncement, these eight woes against the Pharisees. It starts there in verse number 13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in." He continues, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," verse 16. "Woe unto you, you blind guides," and say, he says, verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," verse 25, "Woe unto you." Verse 27, "Woe unto you." Verse 29, "Woe unto you." The Lord Jesus was on a roll. He didn't hold back when it came to dealing with religious hypocrites. And he gives them those eight woes. Verse number 14. That second woe is not found in any of these Bibles. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14. Those words of Jesus, red letter word, those words of Jesus are taken out. This is one thing you can do in any language you go to, any country you go to. You want to check out a Bible and say, is this a good translation? All you got to do is look for these verses. If they're not in there, you know it came from this line right here, and it's not going to be any good. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Greater damnation. Degrees of punishment from God for religious hypocrites. And yet that verse has been omitted. Those words of Jesus Christ have been eliminated, or they've been added. Now, let's be consistent. If the other two in Matthew were some scribe reading somewhere else and come and inserting those back here, where did he get this one? That's not found anywhere else. So either he was a really confused maniac, or those verses were in the original text and are supposed to be there. Number four, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Verse number 16. Jesus is giving them a lesson beginning in verse 14. "When he had called all the people unto him, he said, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 16, those words are eliminated in all the modern Bible versions. If a preacher or a Sunday school teacher is to give a lesson on Mark chapter 7, verse 14 to 16, unless he uses a King James Bible, verse 16 is not going to be there. "If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear." Well, here's the question again. Did Jesus say that or did he not? No. That's the answer right here. No. Yes, he did. Now, did he say, "If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear"? Let me tell you this without going through a lot of time. There are eight times in the Gospels that Jesus said, "If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's not a specific statement to right there. He said this eight different times on six different occasions. I say six occasions because you understand that Matthew, Mark, and Luke sometimes are telling the same occasion, the same event, some of them duplicating. But on six different occasions, eight different times, Jesus said, if a man hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's repeated seven times in the book of Revelation. It's the singular, if any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And you'll note that if you've got one of those red letter Bibles, I don't have one myself, but if you've got a red letter Bible, all those verses are going to be in red because the Spirit is speaking, which is part of the Godhead, just like Jesus. So the verses that we're looking at that have been eliminated are significant verses. They've all so far been the words of Jesus Christ himself. The Jesus that said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Over a page, Mark chapter 9. And verse 44. Mark chapter 9, let's start in verse 43. Jesus again speaking very harshly. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall not, into fire that never shall be quenched. So did he mean that literally? Sure. He meant it'd be better to cut your hand off to stop you from sinning with it than it would be to go to hell with a hand on the end of your arm. Yeah, that's literal. Now he's not recommending you go chop your hand off. He's recommending you stop using it for sinful purpose. But going to heaven or hell is more important than having a member of your body. So he said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Verse 44, for the fire is not quenched, where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, if thine eye, hand, foot, eye, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Lord presented 3 different things. Hand, foot, and eye. And with each one he said, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He was teaching a very important truth about hell. I don't want to get sidetracked, but none of these Bibles use the word hell. That's a whole different subject. You won't find the word hell in any of these Bibles. But besides that, verse 44 and verse 46 are not in any of these Bibles either. You say, well, it is in verse 48. Yes, it's still in verse 48. But they eliminated 2 times that Jesus Christ said it. You hear that? That Jesus Christ said it. We're not messing with insignificant words. Well, is this taught somewhere else? Yes, it is. But that doesn't matter. It's about the words. Every word of God is pure. And every word of God needs to be there. It's funny to read, and again, I don't need comics. I don't need the funny pages of the Sunday paper. I read the scholars. I read the Bible, the serious Bible students, if you want to call it that. And here's what they'll tell you. Some overzealous scribe got carried away in his excitement and inserted verse 44 and verse 46 where they were not there. I just find that very difficult to believe. That some scribe decided to repeat the same verse, read it back here and decide to go back and insert it up there and up there. That would be, if that's what happened with this, you ought to go burn it. If this is nothing more than some overzealous scribe taking verses from Luke and going back and putting it in Matthew, or taking a verse in 48 and putting it back in 40, 44 and 46, then that's dastardly. But I could also say the same thing. If these Bibles remove those verses and they are the words of Jesus Christ, you ought to burn them. Sounds very harsh, I understand. But we're talking about every word of God. So verses 5 and 6 that we're looking at and these that are missing are verse 44 and verse 46. So you ought to have 6 verses written down. We'll try to get 2 more done halfway through the list tonight. Mark chapter 11. Jesus again is speaking. He says in verse 24, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, this is Mark 11, verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Now let me say this. This sounds like the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5. But this is not the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5. Luke is recording an entirely different occasion, a different day, a different time where Jesus says this. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, for if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Verse 26 is not in any of the New Bible versions. Words of Jesus Christ. Are they His words? Well, unquestionably He said them because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15, the same thing is said. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus did say that in Matthew. But according to the New Bibles, He did not say it in Mark. Mark recorded them. Or so our Bible says. Can you understand this? The issue is not so much have these added or these taken away, but the simple truth is these are not the same. All right, they're not the same. This one's missing a whole lot of words, or this one's added a whole lot of words. I guess if you like reading your Bible, you take the one with fewer words. Get through it faster. But then you don't have every word of God. Again, that wayward scribe is attributed to having taken a verse from Matthew and putting it in Mark. He took some from Mark and put them in Matthew, some from Luke and put them in Matthew, some from Matthew. It's really confusing. Or every word of God belongs there. Number 8, the last one in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I'll say this while you're turning there. There is a great debate among the quote-unquote scholars that Mark chapter 16 ends at verse 8. And that everything from verse 9 to verse 20 was added by a scribe later on. And though they don't have the nerve to eliminate those from the Bibles yet, they do either bracket them or put a footnote in that says those verses don't belong here. So it's only a matter of time before we get another Bible translation or version that comes out with those words missing. And what are those words? Well, they're about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why would you eliminate that? But the verse we're looking at here in Mark is in Mark chapter 15 and verse number 28. Here Jesus is being crucified. Verse 25, it was the third hour and they crucified him. Verse 26, and this superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. Verse 28, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. From the book of Isaiah. The scripture was fulfilled. He was numbered with the transgressors. Verse 28 is not in all the New Bible versions. They've eliminated, they've taken it out. The verse that tells us that scripture was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified. Again, if a preacher or a Sunday school teacher is teaching through the Gospel of Mark and comes to that verse is not going to be there. That when Jesus hung on the cross, it was the fulfilling of Old Testament scripture. You will get much more Bible maturity and Bible depth by sticking to the King James Bible. All the new versions are going to give you a weaker Christianity. If you don't believe it, look at the churches that use modern Bible versions. And their Christianity is a weaker version of it. You won't find any of the contemporary churches today using the King James Bible. You won't find liberal churches today using the King James Bible. Because every word of God affects us. And we need every word when we're reading this Bible. These are not the same. Those are eight verses, seven of them spoken by Jesus Christ himself, that have been eliminated. Words have been taken out. 258 words total, over half of them by the Lord Jesus Christ, that are not in here. And again, the sad thing is now the upper echelon, if we want to call that, the scholars that translated them, they know that they're missing. They know they're not there. And they have a reason for that, and we'll talk about that as we continue on later. But the simple fact is, these are not compatible. You know, churches say, well, bring the Bible of your choice. What utter chaos. What foolishness. Because how are you going to read Matthew 18:11 or 17:26 or Acts or Romans? How are you going to read those if they're not even in those? I mean, I would do that on purpose. That's just my streak. If I was among people like that, I'd say, all right, let's turn to Acts 8:37 and read that. And they'd all be floundering around trying to find a verse that's not in their Bibles. Things that are different are not the same. So why do we use the King James Bible? Reason number one, all the verses are there. All the words are there. They haven't been eliminated. They haven't been taken out. They haven't been tampered with. We'll talk later at a different point by those that attack the King James Bible saying, well, is that the 1611 King James Version? In other words, this was translated from 1605 to 1611. It was completed in 1611 and first published then, so we call it the 1611 King James Bible. But it has gone through four revisions since then. Four editions since then. In those editions, the first two were changes in spelling, the last two in punctuation, but no words were ever changed. Nothing was ever dropped out, so it's kind of a straw man argument. This Bible we use has been unchanged for 400 years. You know what? I'm done, but I'm not done. This New International Version I've got, I posted something online months ago. And somebody accused me of lying. And I can't remember what it was I said, but I took a verse or something missing or something out of here. And I said, well, the NIV says this or that, and this guy challenged me on it. He said, no, it doesn't. You're making that up. You're one of those typical King James people that makes things up hoping nobody will check you out. And so I went back and looked, and it was. But here's the problem. This is a 1978 New International Version. It's been revised. It's been changed. And I don't mean additions, changing spelling, changing capitalization of, this is an original 1611 copy, changing the capitalization of church from a capital C down, from a capital C down to a small c, because the Catholic Church makes so much out of the church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about distinct differences, adding words that they eliminated here and added later because they got caught red-handed doing it. The one you and I've got is an unchanged book from 400 years. And it's not going to change. These are missing 16 verses. This one's missing, the newest one missing 17 verses. This is the verse, the Bible version that is used in some churches right here in Cambridge, Ohio, in so-called fundamental Baptist or fundamental churches. They're missing the verses. All right, let's stand tonight with our heads bowed. Did I give you enough for one night? 8 verses that are missing. We'll look at the other 8 next Sunday evening.